again. Shady's back. Tell a friend.
We're going to get to our former Bill, future Bill waiver draft in a moment. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Gabe Davis is back on the practice squad for the Buffalo Bills. You can give us a call on this at 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. So for tomorrow night's game between the Eagles and the Cowboys, Nick Sirianni was alerted to the fact that the banner raising is tomorrow. He says he did not know. Oh, and the Eagles won't be out there for it. They will not be on the field.
For the banner raising?
Yes, the banner's going up, and they won't be on the field. They don't want to be known as defending champs because they want their eyes on the future rather than the past. I mean, the all-time attempt to be the hardest people possible. The Kobe job's not done to the next degree. You won the title. You want to raise the banner? Not going to watch it.
I bet Kobe was on the court when they rose.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Of course he was.
Job was done.
Sirianni said they won't be out there for the banner raising. You know who will be out for the banner raising? CeeDee Lamb. He says, I want to watch it. He wants to see it. I want to watch it. Told Cowboys.com. Shout out to them for that, because I've still got brothers over there. It's not really anything personal, but it's something that I'm chasing. He says it'll serve as motivation. Listen, if the Bills win the Super Bowl...
Kind of like when Diggs stayed out in the field when the Chiefs were on the podium that first AFC Championship.
To burn it in. If the Bills win the Super Bowl, I would encourage the players, in fact, to, yes, be on the field for the banner raising ceremony. Please be on the field.
That'd be nice.
You don't have to be so hardcore that you don't know the banner is being raised and you're not going to be out there for it. But that's the Eagles.
Yeah.
803-05.
Lame. I feel like it's a Nick Sirianni thing.
Dan in Ohio. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Morning, guys. Happy week one. Hey, two kind of questions/comments for you. One, the first one being, in regards to Gabe Davis. I guess the question for me is, I was never a guy that didn't want Gabe back. I wasn't that guy. I didn't want him back at 12 or 13 million. But if he'd have signed for 6 or 7, I think Gabe would have played for this team last year. And now that he's playing for 0 on a practice squad deal, it doesn't bother me. And does he have a place on the team? Who knows? We'll see how he recovers from the injury. And the second part of that same statement and question is, you know, we don't think that Bean actually works in a vacuum. Does he talk to McDermott? Do they talk to Josh? And what are their feelings, opinions? I'm not saying he bases their decisions solely on what they say, but it's got to be part of it, right? It's got to be part of the conversation, I would think. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't necessarily know how that works, but it's kind of my thought process around that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a unsaid conversation about how much are they doing that Josh wants them to do, which I tend to always lean towards. If he wants it, you should give it to him. If he wants his backup quarterback to be somebody that he works well with, then pick that guy as the backup quarterback. And he should have a hand in who the offensive coordinator is because they get along well. You know, you've got arguably the best player in football, and who does he want to work with? If he doesn't want to work with this player, get that player out of here, you know? I think he can wield that power. I think there are plenty of Bills fans that maybe at the end of this year, or maybe even right now, this is not me, but would want him to say something about the coach and demand something different. If you're someone that doesn't like McDermott, you might be hoping that Josh forces him out. You know, that's pretty far down the line. But I think it's fine when a GM leans on a player for, you know, hey, it's a coin toss between this guy and this guy for a coordinator job. Or on the practice squad, you know, if he says, I'd really like Gabe back, I don't have a big problem with that. You know, he's not the GM, but if he's having some input in decisions, I'm not going to be bothered by that.
But he didn't throw to him the last time he was here.
That's right.
Except for two games. You want his game log really quick? One, Joe Brady and Gabe Davis together.
They had like 6 games with 1 target or less.
0 for 0. 6 for 105 and a touchdown. Again, like there's a couple big games mixed in.
That's the Eagles game where ultimately he misreads leverage on a play, and if he doesn't, they win the game.
Like 6 for 105 and a touchdown sounds good. Does it sound good still if I tell you it's on 12 targets? Not as good. Still fine. Yeah. After that, 0 for 0. After that, 0 for 0. 4 for 130 and a touchdown.
Pretty good.
Charger game. 2 for 21, 0 for 0. He's done. That's it. Not a factor, except for two games. And he actually had a 0 right before Brady came in against the Bengals. So, in the second half of his last year with the Bills, 5 games where he didn't have a catch.
Right.
That's with him starting and being on the field for 90% of the snaps, 88% of the snaps, 96%. He's on the field and giving you zeros.
That's part of where it kind of reads to me like, well, tell me about the fit, right? Oh, well, he was here before. Tell me about the fit. He did not fit with the offense that they switched to. So, but it's fine.
Wonder where he would rank on Bills starts at receiver with 0 catches. What's that list going to look like?
Wow. Starts and 0 catches.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know how many times he would have done it before that half a year where he had zeros. There were a lot of games where he wasn't really involved, even before Brady became the coordinator. There's just these big... I mean, Pro Football Reference, his nickname is Big Game Gabe, and that is 99% the 13 seconds game, right? But maybe part of it also is, this is what he was in fantasy. Hey, he might give you 6 for 100 and a touchdown, or he might give you 1 for 30.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Gabe Davis back on the practice squad. Bills, what else on Hard Knocks last night? You didn't see it.
No, I'll have to watch it today.
A lot of you might have forgot it was Tuesday.
Was it good? It was the finale, right?
Was it good? Sure.
Compared to the other ones?
It was fine. It's good if you're a Bills fan. It was so much
fluff,
if I could say that, but without trying to sound like it's bad. The series was mostly fluff.
Yeah. Did I get any, them telling players they were cut or released?
No, what you got...
I would have been looking for that.
What you did get
How they do that.
McDermott giving a speech to the players that were on the practice squad as part of the room. You're important. If you're on the practice squad, you have an important job. Because you got to be ready. You might get the call. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do on the practice squad. Jimmy Charlo was in this episode a little bit. Dawkins was funny again. A lot about the community and how whenever they go do something, the fans always support them. Ty Johnson line dancing at a country bar.
Okay.
That was cool. That's funny.
So they really stuck with the off-field stuff.
Well, they did that. And
or out of building
there's
stuff.
A lot of good Josh content in this one, too.
Okay.
Really good Josh content. Talking about whatever. They talked about what it would be like to win here. Allen saying he could picture the parade. He can picture the walk up the stairs to win the Super Bowl. And a lot of really good stuff. It's the kind of thing where I would like to watch this every single year because it is PR and it is whatever. It's a hype video for your team. And it's some practice you don't normally see. So
But you would only want to watch it about the Bills.
Yeah, I would have a tough time watching this about any other team because I don't feel like I actually learned anything about them other than they have some cool guys.
Cool guys, yeah.
They have some cool guys. And watching Hard Knocks, it's well done. It's put together well. It's not what it used to be where it's life in the NFL. Hard Knocks, why was it named that? Because it's a cutthroat league. It's a tough business. It's Hard Knocks. And now what is it? Now it might as well be, I don't say it's soft, but it's just different. It's a PR campaign for your team. I can't imagine a team watching the treatment that the Bills got from this and thinking we don't want to be on it.
Every team should run to it.
Yeah,
as long as the show lasts.
If you're a team that has whatever trouble with your fans, your relationship is fractured, get yourself on Hard Knocks. Show them you got some good players. You're the Jets. You should try to be on it without Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
That's my review, I guess. I liked it, but I don't think it was any sort of groundbreaking, dramatic feat. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550.
Answer on games with 0 catches in Bills history and starting at receiver, Andre Reed has the most with 11.
Okay. He played a lot of games.
Then a guy from the 70s and then Gabe Davis, who had 6.
And how many games?
He had Gabe Davis.
Yeah. Is it more per game?
It is more per game. Again, though, it's 6 total, and 5 of them were in his last
with like Joe Brady.
8 games. Yeah.
803-0550, our phone number. When we get back, I teased this tease. The reason the NFL will not be playing on Friday in Brazil next year. They're not playing on Friday is the story. So this game we get with the Chargers and the Chiefs in 2 days, that game won't happen next year. And we'll tell you why.